Now, subject today is the concept of shemen, shemen zayis, its connection to the menorah, to the mitzvah that's given twice in the Torah, v'yikhu elecha shemen zayis zach, to Moshe Rabbeinu, because it says v'yikhu elecha, elecha for you. Moshe Rabbeinu was singled out for the mitzvah of shemen zayis. And the centrality of the mitzvah of hadlokas ner Chanukah and its relationship to the menorah, and the battle between the Chashmonaim and the Yevonim on a spiritual level. The battleground seems to be over shemen, because the brice of my Chanukah, which you'll see on the second paragraph, Tana Rabbanan b'chofei kislev yimei Chanukah, and the brisa tells us that the establishment of Chanukah is based on the great miracle of the Pach HaShemen. Shenichnasu ayivonim leheichal timu kol hashmanim shebeheichal, and the word timu seems to indicate that there was an agenda here. There was a deliberate policy and an attempt on the part of the Yevonim litameyas hashmonim. It wasn't that, you know, the shmonim became tomei because the Yevonim came somehow in contact with the shmonim, but rather that there was a policy, there was a program here in which the Yevonim came into the Heichal and deliberately timu kol hashmanim. We'll see this in a minute in the Rambam's language as well, that the Yevonim were out to disqualify and to contaminate the shemen shebeheichal. How are you, Jeremy? And then the Brisa goes on to tell us that when the Chashmonaim were in charge, they were victorious. They looked for a Pach HaShemen. They looked for any Shemen, and they found the Pach HaShemen, which was Munach Bechosomo Shel Kohen Gadol. We'll have to see exactly who this Kohen Gadol was. Anyway, he had put a seal on this Pach, and they knew therefore it was Tahar. It had only enough shemen to light for one day, and instead it lasted for 8 days. So basically, how long was the miracle?
Seven
days. So we'll have to talk about that in a minute. That's a famous question of Beis Yosef. But in any event, we see that there was a policy here on behalf of the Yevonim, on the part of the Yevonim, to be metame all the shmonim in the Heichal. And this is something that the Rambam codifies. You'll see this in a paragraph on the bottom right of page 1. Do you see a paragraph that starts V'chein? So in that paragraph, the Rambam introduces Hilchos Chanukah in a very atypical way by giving us all the historical background, whatever education, whatever knowledge we have to be equipped with in order to go ahead and light the Ner Chanukah. And the Rambam goes ahead and he says, V'timu hataharos, that the Yevonim were out there deliberately to pollute and contaminate that which was Torah, which was pure. The Rambam also adds that the kingship of Yavon was very much interested in undermining Esek HaTorah. We'll come back to that phrase, Esek HaTorah. So if you happen to have a pen or a pencil and you like to underline and highlight certain things, and if not, I have an extra pen and paper and an extra couple of pens and pencils here, then in the paragraph of Chen, you want to underline number one on the third line, Lasok B'Torah. Lasok B'Torah. And number two, you want to underline on the fifth line, V'timu HaTaharos. And it's clear from the Rambam that anything that was Tahar, the Yevonim were out there to be Metame, and included in their policy was Shemen, because the oil was needed for the menorah. And what we want to understand today is why was this policy of the Yevonim directed towards being Metame the Shmonim? Why did they single out the oil and the mitzvah of Hadlokas and Menorah? Why was it that they were interested in undermining that particular aspect of the Beis HaMikdash, that particular mitzvah? And number two, what did the Hashmonaim do after they won the battle? They came into the Heichal, they didn't find anything, but they found one Pach Shemen. And here in the middle column, you're going to underline the words of the Me'iri. The Me'iri, without even knowing it, answers the kasha of the Beis Yosef. The Me'iri was many centuries before the Beis Yosef. The Beis Yosef asked the question, why the 8 days of Hanukkah? There should only be 7 days of Hanukkah, because after all, the miracle of the Pach HaShemen was only 7 days. Comes along the Me'iri, again, way before the Beis Yosef, and he says, Ki etzem mitzias ha-pach, you'll see it on the third line in the middle column. It's bolded, so you don't even have to underline it. It's already, you know, he gave it away. That according to the Me'iri, the very fact that there was one pach, there was one jug of oil that was hidden away from the Yevanim, and it remained tar, that itself was a great miracle. And therefore, the first night of Hanukkah, we're going to commemorate the miracle of finding the oil, finding the pure oil. And then the rest of the days of Hanukkah, the balance, the other 7 days, is to commemorate the miracle of the Shemen, that it lasted, instead of for one day, it lasted for 8 days. So again, our first question, which you'll see in the paragraph, Hine, is why are the Yevanim so fearful of this mitzvah of menorah, of lighting the menorah, b'shemen tar, that they have to attack that, and they have to do every effort in order to pollute and contaminate the shemen of the menorah? Why all the tircha and all the angst over getting the shemen and the heichal and being metami? Why of all the mitzvahs that we did in the Mikdash, and there were many, they attacked primarily the mitzvah of hadlakas ha-menorah, and that would have to be done through shemen tar? And beyond that, we want to ask the question, why is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought about the miracle of finding the shemen in the pach that was hayah munach b'chosom shel kohen gadol? Did God have to bring about that miracle? We're going to soon see later that according to the Pnei Yoshua, at least, they could have lit the menorah even without that pach HaShemen. That's called Tumah Hutra B'tzibur. You don't have to know about that now. We'll get that later. Now, in the Al-Nisim, we emphasize a certain phrase that doesn't seem to make any sense. In the Al-Nisim, which we recite every day, 3 times a day during Chanukah, and also during benching, it says, "K'sha'amdu malchus yomino shal amchi so lehashkicham torasecha." So if you're highlighting, you want to highlight those two words, lehashkicham torasecha. Now, literally translated, that means to make you forget something, correct? Lashkicham is the active form of the passive shichacha. Shichacha is usually something that happens to you. You forget something. How can I cause you to forget something? You know, I think modern science has created certain the use of certain drugs that maybe force you to forget something. Do you know what I'm talking about? I don't know the name of the drug. Doc, do you know the name of the drug? Well, I guess you're not, maybe you're not a GI man. My friend Dr. Paz, who knows my insides very intimately, because I go for a colonoscopy every couple of years, so he tells me that he put me out 3 hours ago, and I had a long conversation with him during this procedure. Wow. And when I woke up, I said, "When are they starting the procedure?" And he said, "You forgot?" He said it with a smile on his face, because he made sure that I would forget. He put me into, you know, a state of a drug. The next time I did a colonoscopy, I asked him if he could do away with that drug. So he said, "Are you able to take this?" You know, because, you know, after that drug, I lost a lot of time in learning, because, you know, until I got back to myself, I said, "I want to be able to get off this table with that and go straight to the Beis HaMidrash." So he made an agreement with me that if I lift my finger like this, he would give me the drug. Thank God I was able to go through it without getting the drug. But back in the time of the Hashmonaim and the Yevanim, I don't know if they had access to a drug that would force you to forget something. And here it says, and we say it all the time in Al Anisim, Lashkicham Torasecha. The second question is, and here again you want to emphasize, Lehaviram Michuke Ritzonecha. Now, I would have substituted a different nusach. I would have said, La'avira mi mitzvos ritzonecha. But what is chukei ritzonecha? The word chok indicates that part of the Torah which we don't understand. Why is it that they attacked that part of the Torah? The chukei Torah. That was what they singled out. So again, just to summarize our four questions. Number one, why were the Yevanim so eager to be metami the shmonim and to undermine the mitzvah of hadlokas haminorah? Number two, how is it possible that the Yevanim had a policy of lashkicham Torah secha? How could they force us to forget our Torah? Number three, why were they interested in attacking chukei ritzonecha, the chukim? And finally, question number four, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring about this great miracle of the Pach HaShemen when they could have actually lit the menorah even without the Pach HaShemen? Why is that miracle so critical? Now, I mentioned at the outset that Moshe Rabbeinu is going to play a major role in Chanukah. That may sound a little bit strange to your ears, and it certainly does, but it's all based on the Rokeach. The Rokeach who lived many, many centuries ago, and his name was Rav Elazar Migermazia. He was from the ancient Jewish community in Germany. And the Rokeach always reveals to us secrets of the Torah. And in this case, he tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu was given the mitzvah of lighting the Ner Chanukah. Now that's a little bit odd, even to say the least. Moshe Rabbeinu did not light Ner Chanukah. I mean, Ner Chanukah came into existence after the Takanas Chachamim, following the victory over the Yevanim by the Chashmonaim. But there's a remes. A remes means a hint or an allusion. If we look in the parsha of Shemen Zayis Zach, the mitzvah of taking olives and crushing them in order to extract the liquid shemen from this and use it in the menorah, we'll find in that parsha a remes to the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah. So although Moshe Rabbeinu is literally given the mitzvah of Ner HaMenorah, Ner in the Mikdash, but nevertheless, al pi remez, meaning based on an allusion of what's going to happen way down the line in Jewish history, Moshe Rabbeinu is really being given the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. Moshe Rabbeinu is in charge of Mesores HaTorah, of the transmission of the Torah. He transmits the Torah not only to his generation, but to generations down the line. And here I'd like you to take a look at the language of the Rokeach. Again, we're reading the words of one of the great Rishonim. And this is on the very bottom of the middle column of page 1. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, four lines up from the bottom of the page. Ramaz LeMoshe Rabbeinu, he hints to Moshe Rabbeinu, to command the Jewish people and to transmit to Chachmei Yisrael, to the scholars of Israel, through the transmission of the Torah that went from generation to the generation, the mitzvah of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. And where does the Rokeach find in the parsha of Shemen Zayis Zach for the menorah a remez, a hint to Ner Chanukah? So for that we have to look in Parshas Emor, and we're talking about the top paragraph on your left column, if you're following the text inside. And following in Parshas Emor, the Regolim, that means Shabbos, and then the Regolim of Pesach, Hatzeres, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Sukkos, and then immediately after it says, Vayidaber Moshes, Mo'adei Hashem al Bnei Yisrael, which sort of like closes the Parsha, immediately afterwards, the Torah says, "V'yikhu elecha shemen zayis zach kosis lamaor." Now, what is this shemen zayis zach, and why does it follow the entire section of the Moadim? Apparently, there's a Moed. There's some special day or days in the Hebrew calendar that have a mitzvah of V'yikhu elecha shemen zayis zach. where we take Shemen Zayas. And that moed is Chanukah, says the Rokeach. You read the Torah on two different levels. On one level, the Torah is obviously commanding us in the mitzvah of lighting the menorah and preparing the Shemen for the menorah. But on a deeper level, what's hinted at below the surface of this command of a Yikweh Lecha is to add another moed, another special holiday to the Hebrew calendar. And that's the moed of Chanukah. So that the moed of Chanukah, which requires us to light the Ner Chanukah, and if everything is equal, if all things are equal, the ideal mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, as codified by the Shulchan Aruch, is Shemen Zayis, to take olive oil. And I would assume that everyone in this room probably uses olive oil, because this becomes so widespread of a custom, especially here in Eretz Yisrael, that when it says, V'yikweh lecha Shemen Zayis, You immediately associate in your mind the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, where we take Shemen Zayis. And according to the Rokeach, what Moshe Rabbeinu was hearing was something that you and I didn't hear, and it's below the surface, that V'yikweh lecha Shemen Zayis is a moed. There will be a moed down the line, pass this tradition on to the Chachmei Yisrael, generations down the line, that they will establish a moed, a special period of 8 days of the year, in which they will take Shemen Zayis, and they will fulfill the mitzvah of lighting the Shemen Zayis. So Moshe Rabbeinu on one level gets the mitzvah of the menorah, but on a deeper level, he gets the mitzvah to pass on to generations down the line of the menorah of Ner Chanukah, the Shemen Zayis of Ner Chanukah. Now, many generations after the Rokeach, one of the greatest of all Sephardic rabbis was the Chidah, and he came up with Rabbeinu Ephraim. We don't know about the existence of this piece of Torah from Rabbeinu Ephraim. Rabbeinu Ephraim, you should know, was the outstanding disciple of the Rif. So we're really going back in time, you know, to Spanish Jewry way back when. And Rabbeinu Ephraim says that he found a different parsha in the Torah in which there's a remez to Ner Chanukah. And that's in Parshas Truma. Now, the mitzvah of menorah was given for the first time in the Tanakh, in Torah, in Parshas Truma, at the end of Sefer Shmos. So we were learning Parshas Emor and Sefer Vayikra. That was the Rokeach. But the Chidah points us in the direction, based on Rabbeinu Ephraim, of to Parshas Truma and Sefer Shmos. And before the Torah gives the command to Moshe Rabbeinu of Shemen Zayis Zach for the menorah, it first says V'chol Yistos HaChotzer Nechoshes, that some of the foundations of the Chotzer of the Mishkan had to be Nechoshes. Comes along the Chidah and he says, let's analyze, take apart this word Nechoshes, Nun Ches Shin Tov. And each letter is the beginning of a word that's called Otrikin. The Nun is Ner, the Ches is Chanukah, you guessed it. The Shin is small, it has to be on the left side. And the Tuf is Tadlik, that you should light. So the Nechoshes is written right before V'yikweh Lecha Shemen Zayis to connect the Ner Chanukah, which is small Tidlok, with the mitzvah of Shemen Zayis. Now again, on one level, the mitzvah of Shemen Zayis is the menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. On a deeper level, it's a reference to the Shemen Zayis of Hadlokas Ner Chanukah. And it's unbelievable that you can take the word Nechoshes and you could find a different Otrikin. And that is Ner Chanukah Shmone Tidlok. Instead of small Tidlok, lighting it on the left hand, it's 8 days. Okay, then I would have offered my own Otrikin. Ner Chanukah Shemen Tidlok. But whatever it is, whether the Shin is a reference to small, or whether the Shin is a reference to Shmona, the 8 days of Chanukah, or it's a reference to Shemen, whatever it is, the word Nechoshes becomes now the key secret code word for Chanukah. And the reason why the word Nechoshes appears right before the command of V'yikwe Lecha Shemen Zayis of the menorah of the Mikdash is because it's a hint to a different menorah, a different mitzvah of Shemen Zayis, lighting the Shemen Zayis on the days of Chanukah. That's Nechoshes. So we have two different approaches, both of which come to the same conclusion, that whether you're in the parasha in Vayikra Chav Gimel, or I should say actually Chav Dalet, Tzavis B'nei Yisrael V'yikwe Lecha Shemen Zayis Zach, or whether you're in parashas Truma, where the Torah says V'yikhu elecha shemen zayizach. The language is identical, and the remez is identical. In the case of Vayikra, according to the Rokeach, the remez is in the smichus to the regalim, that there will be another moed of shemen zayis, and that's Hanukkah. In the case of Truma, Parshas Truma, according to the Chidah, the remez is in the word nechoshes. Now, what's common to both of these parshios, whether it's Vayikra Chaf Dalid or whether it's a Shmos Chavav, is that in both cases the Torah says Eilecha. Eilecha is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. So Moshe Rabbeinu, as we said, as the transmitter of Torah, is getting Torah on two different levels. On Pshat level, which is the mitzvah of lighting the menorah b'shemen zayizach. On a Remez level, he's getting the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which is going to be passed on to generations down the line. And now we have two places in the Torah where the word Eilecha is added, and the emphasis is here is on Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, why on the level of Remez is Moshe Rabbeinu in charge with the mitzvah of transmitting the mitzvah of Ner Chanukah? What is the connection between Moshe Rabbeinu and Ner Chanukah? So in order to appreciate this, we have to read a Rashi at the end of the Torah. In the parasha of Zos HaBracha, when Shevet Levi is given a bracha by Moshe Rabbeinu, Berech Hashem Chelo. Now the word Chelo comes from the word Chayil. You know, anyone who lives in the modern state of Israel knows that the word Chayil refers to the military soldiers. And then it says Upoel Yodov Tirtze, and that which he creates, the product of his Yodayim, of his hands, Tirtze, God, you should be happy with it. Says Rashi, what was Moshe Rabbeinu bestowing on Shevet Levi? Moshe Rabbeinu had a Ruach HaKodesh, Shasidim Chashmonoi Ubonov, these are all descendants of Shevet Levi, Li Lachem Im Ovdei Kochavim. So Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be the first one in history to pray on behalf of the Chashmonoim that they should succeed in their battle against the Yevonim, his Palalea. Of all the Shvatim, which was the smallest Shevet in number, it was Levi. And the Chashmonoim were also very limited in number. There were 12 Bnei Chashmonoi and Elazar Keneged Kama Revavos. If you take together the entire power and the force of the Chashmonoim, you're dealing with a very small number, and they would fight against the Yevonim that were Kama Revavos. Revavos probably means hundreds of thousands. And therefore, Berech Hashem Chelo. So what does Chelo mean? Which soldiers are being blessed by Moshe Rabbeinu? Anybody? Which soldiers? The Chashmonoim. Excellent. How'd you figure that out? Okay. Now, sometimes I need to hear from you that you're with me, because otherwise I think maybe you're sleeping, Chas V'Shalom, or something like that. We're up to page 2 now. Now, we're not going to go through this very long and complicated Medrash, which is on the top of your page 2. It's a Medrash in Brachos Rabbah about the power of Levi. Levi is the third child of Leah, the third of the Shvatim to be born. And Levi is connected. Now there are four Malchios, right? So there are four kingships that are going to subjugate and attack the Jewish people, a third of which is Yavan. Levi, as the third son, the Medrash singles out, is connected Yavan. He is in charge of defeating Yavan. And there's a very complicated Medrash that describes Shevet Levi and what the Yavanim tried to do. And the Medrash culminates with the question, a rhetorical question, in what schus was Levi able to counter against this third and great power, the kingship of Yavan? And the answer is, b'schus b'rchasol shel Moshe. It's only because of Moshe's prayer, in which he said, Barech Hashem Chelo. That's how the people of the descendants of Shevet Levi, namely the Chashmonoim, were able to defeat the mighty powers of Malchus Yavan. So again, we're seeing very, in two ways now, how Moshe Rabbeinu is playing a major role in Chanukah. Number one, Moshe Rabbeinu in two different places, Yikru Eilecha, is hinting and alluding to the Neros of Chanukah, the menorah of Chanukah, of Shemen Zayis. And in both these parashios, the Torah goes out of its way to say, V'yikru Eilecha, singling out Moshe Rabbeinu. He has a direct connection to the mitzvah of the menorah of the Chashmonaim. Again, Moshe Rabbeinu himself never fulfilled that mitzvah, but he transmitted that mitzvah to the Chachamim for future generations. And number two, Moshe Rabbeinu is going to be in charge of saving the Chashmonaim through his bracha in Parashas Vezot Sabracha and endowing them with the Berech Hashem Chelo, that God should strengthen the military power of the Chashmonaim, the Bnei Levi. And how so? Because of their ma'atim, their small numbers, only through this metaphysical blessing that Moshe bestows upon the descendants of Shevet Levi, i.e. the Chashmonaim, are they able to win this military battle, because God, through the blessing of Moshe Rabbeinu, is going to merit the Chashmonaim, and Moshe Rabbeinu is the one who's the mispalel, he's the one who prays and supplicates on behalf of the Nitzochon of the Chashmonaim, their military victory. But let's go on to the end of that pasuk. Moshe Rabbeinu bestows another blessing on Levi, and it says, "Upoel." What does it say? "Upoel Yadav Tirtze." Am I correct? Did I get that right? Right. "Upoel Yadav Tirtze." The addition of those three words is a whole blessing unto itself, and this prayer of Moshe Rabbeinu, of Paul Yadav, is a reference, is an allusion to the Hadlakas HaNeros. Remember that two things happen on Chanukah. Number one, the great miracle of the Chashmonaim of Rabin B'Yad Mi'atim, the military campaign and victory. And number two, the great miracle of the Hadlakas HaNeros Betara, that the Jewish people, under the dominion of the Chashmonaim, would be able to find, miraculously, Neros, Chanukah, Betara, meaning a Pachshel Shemen, which had the Chosem of the Kohen Gadol. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Misratzeh to the Paul Yadav of the Shevet, meaning that the Shevet Levi made a decision. Technically, as I said before, the name of the Pnei Yoshua, they didn't have to look for Shemen Tahar. They could have easily fulfilled the mitzvah with Shemen Tomei, based on the principle of Tumo Hutra B'Tzibur. But nevertheless, they wanted to look for the ideal fulfillment of the mitzvah of Hadlakas HaMenorah, and they want to look for Shemen Tahar. And we'll see later on why that's so critical for the Chashmonaim, because the Shemen Tahar is exactly what the Yevonim wanted to get rid of. So they would love to counter, now that they've miraculously defeated, victorious against the Chashmonaim, let's look for Shemen Tahar, because again, the whole propaganda, the whole agenda of the Yevonim was to be Metameh all the Tumanim, as we saw that was a deliberate v'timu es hashmonim, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was meratzeh, and he was happy with the decision of the descendants of Shevet Levi to look for Shemen Tahar, and as a result, he gave them the miracle of finding the Pach HaShemen. And there's a beautiful remez here, this I'd love you to underline, I was really excited about this, at the end of the paragraph of Yesh Lomar, you'll see the last three lines. The word chelo in the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu, if you take a look at the ches yud lamed vav, it's very interesting. The second half of this word is a day giveaway, lamed vav. What does that refer to, Rabosai?
36 hidden tzaddikim.
Okay, that's good for a different drasha, but for Chanukah, what is it hit the guy? The 36 candles of Chanukah, right? There are 36 candles of Chanukah. And the ches yud is shmonis yamin, the ches and the yud. So the Baruch Hashem Chelo means the 8 days of the 36 candles of Chanukah. And Berech Hashem, Upol Yadav Tirtze means that you the Chashmonaim, in your request, in your quest, I should say, for finding Shemen Tahar, you should be blessed. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should see to it through miracles that you will be able to find the ability to light the candle for 8 days, 36 candles, b'shemen tar. Because again, the whole agenda of the Yevonim was to be metami the shmonim, to pollute them. And now you're going to find pure shemen tar to fulfill the mitzvah of v'yikhu elecha shemen zayizach. Because again, according to the both the Chidah and before him the Rokeach, this is all this whole V'yikru Eilecha Shem Tzayzov in two different parashiyos, of course, is a hint to the mitzvah of Hadlokas HaMenorah. And the fascinating thing is that the Torah says that the menorah should be placed on the southern side of the Heichal, and the Gemara tells us that that has bearing on our tefillos, the way we daven. The Gemara Bava Basra is very famous, Harotza Sheyachkim Yadrim. And why? Why should a person stand and face the south when he davens? Because he wants to be Yachkim, he wants to achieve Chachma. Chachma means the wisdom of the Torah. And the menorah itself represents the wisdom of the Torah. And if the menorah was in Dorom, then we would also pray towards the Dorom. So you follow this the whole Chagadya here of A, B, and C. It's a whole logical presentation. The first point is that the menorah is in the south. The second point is that the menorah represents Torah. The third point is that if you pray towards the south, you connect yourself with the menorah, which is connected to Torah, and therefore Arotza Sheyachkim Yadrim. The whole purpose, therefore, of the menorah is to take the Or HaTorah and bring it to Yisrael. The pasuk in Shlomo Mel says, the Mishle Ki Ner Mitzvah V'Torah Or. The Ner here of the menorah is going to be the source of a light. Which light? The light of the Torah. Torah is Or. So if a person wants to dip in to the prayers and the skulos of getting the Or of Torah, he's got to be connected to the Ner Mitzvah. The Ner Mitzvah here is the menorah, and that's in the Dorum in the south. Now, we spoke about Moshe Rabbeinu, correct? Moshe Rabbeinu has a direct connection, V'yikru Eilecha, to the menorah and the Beis HaMikdash. He's given the command. Now, let's take a look at the menorah. How many branches, how do you pronounce it? Branches?
Branches.
Branches? Okay, I'm getting it. It's taken me a long time. How many branches are there to the candelabra, the menorah, and the Beis HaMikdash?
Seven.
Correct? And these represent the seven Roim. There were seven great giants who were responsible for the entire Jewish history. That's Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, Moshe, Aaron, Yosef, and David. What number in that list is Moshe Rabbeinu? Meaning I'm trying to figure out which one of the branches of the menorah correspond to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe's number four, because it's Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, and then Moshe. Now the fourth, you know, if you have three and three, right, on two sides, then the number seven, then no matter where you start with, the number four brings you into what's called the Ner Maro, that's the Ner HaEmtzai, the middle Ner. And Chazal say there was a great miracle in the Ner HaEmtzai, and that's the Moshe Rabbeinu's Ner. In other words, Moshe Rabbeinu gets the command to light the menorah. El mul pnei ha-menorah ya'iru. There are three candles on each side that turn towards the Ner HaEmtzai. And why is that? Because they want to be influenced, so to speak, by receiving the light from the Ner HaEmtzai. The Ner HaEmtzai is the Nosein HaTorah, because as we said before, Ki Ner Mitzvah Torah are, that the light of the menorah represents the light of the Torah. So now, all of these different branches want to point towards the middle branch, because the middle branch is the Nosein HaTorah. That's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's number four of the Shivas HaRoim. He's connected to the Ner HaEmtzai. And now they want to, all the other candles want to be mamshith, they want to draw from the Ner HaEmtzai, meaning they want to draw the Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. He becomes the shliach of God, the agent of God to transmit the Torah, and that's the Ner HaEmtzai of the menorah. And now we get to our question about Shemen. Why is Shemen so important? The Gemara tells us in Masechta Horios, we're in the middle column now, in the paragraph that starts with the word Venireh. And again, whenever I quote a paragraph, it means take a look at the bold letters in the paragraph. Eating olives is not a good idea. I love olives, but eating olives is Meshakeach Limud. It causes you to forget your learning.
Eating by themselves.
By themselves. But if, on the other hand, you crush the olives and you remove the shemen, then shemen is meshiv limud. Shemen gives you the ability to remember that which you've forgotten. Now, what's the difference between the zayis itself, the olive, which contains the shemen within, and the shemen itself, which is removed, which is, what's the word,
extracted.
Extracted. Thank you so much, Rabbi. Extracted from the shemen, from the zayis. Oh. Now, in order to answer that question, you have to ask yourself, what is the ultimate goal of learning Torah? How does a person achieve the goal of Torah? How does he get to the point where not only has he acquired Torah knowledge, but he also retains his Torah knowledge? That's the big question. How do you remember what you learned? So the Gemara says in Masechta Brachos that the key to that is what's called Memis Atzmo Oleha. What does that mean? Literally, it means to kill yourself in Torah. What does it mean to kill yourself in Torah? Obviously, if you're going to wake up in the middle of the night to learn Torah, like David HaMelech did, that's killing yourself. Not everyone is able to do that, but there are different types of learning of Torah. And the key to learning Torah, which is called Yigia, right? Are we familiar with that word? Yud Gimel Yud Ayin. Means hard work. Again, I don't know if the Taz was the super commentary on Shulchan Aruch. He lived about 4.5 centuries ago. I don't know if he was aware of art school. But you should know that some rabbis are not so excited about art school. They'll tell you you can learn art school at the beginning of your career, because otherwise you'll be totally frustrated. And so many people have told me that, especially on a plane or on a train, they're traveling. I don't know if anyone here travels a lot, but you have to take along your art school, right? But that's only a kind of fallback position. The ideal position is called Memis Es Atzmo. What does Memis Es Atzmo mean? Yigia, what does it mean to work in Torah? So in order to understand that, we have to learn the Taz. The Taz reveals to us why is it that every morning before we engage in Talmud Torah, we recite the Bracha, it's Asher Kidshonu Mitzvosu V'Tzivonu Lasok B'Divrei Torah. What is Asek B'Divrei Torah? It doesn't say Lilbo Torah, but it says Lasok B'Torah. Comes along the Taz with fantastical idea that the ultimate goal of Talmud Torah is called Esek HaTorah. Esek HaTorah means Ba'amelus Ubiyegia. It means working very hard. This is also Rashi at the beginning of Parashas Bechukosai, which Rashi says Bechukosai Telech means Shetiyu Amelim HaTorah, that you should ideally work very hard. And if you want to achieve knowledge of Torah and have retention, then you have to work very hard. It can't just be, come easy, come easy, go, a little bit of, I learned Torah while I'm, drinking a beer and I'm watching the football game. You know what I'm saying? That's not the way we learn Torah. Torah has to be with a lot of serious work, a lot of hamelus. That's called lasok b'divrei Torah. And here, the Taz adds another phrase called pilpul. Pilpul means when you try to delve below the surface and try to reveal the secrets of the Torah, that which is concealed. Now, the Taz, as you know, was married to the Bach's daughter. So his father-in-law, the Bach, says, Lasok b'divrei Torah, Nireh, De'ikar havtocha shivtachtonu, any promise that we find that God says He will reward us for Torah study is only Esek HaTorah. What is Esek HaTorah? Amel v'torach. It means to work and to sweat and toil to reveal the deeper meanings of Torah. That's called Pilpula Shel Torah. And if you take a look at the Gemara in Masechta Ksubos, and perhaps as well the Gemara in Tmura, which is all quoted to you on the left column in the top paragraph, the Gemara Ksubis tells us about Rabbi Chanina, who spoke to Rabbi Chia, that's on line 4, he said, Bahadi didi minsis. He said, you're fighting against me? They were in a heated debate about how to understand the Torah. And Rabbi Chanina boasts about himself, and he says that im chas v'shalom nishtakla Torah b'Yisrael, if any time, heaven forbid, the Torah will be forgotten, ma'adrina lemi pilpula. I have such an ability to work hard and reveal the secrets of the Torah that's called pilpul, that I would restore the Torah. Unbelievable. The Gemara Tmura says something similar about Rabbi Avo. The Gemara says that tragically we forgot and they were lost 3,000 halachos. That all happened during the grief, the period of mourning for Moshe Rabbeinu's passing. Omar Rabbi Avo, afal pichein, hichziron osniel ben knaz mitok pilpulo. There was someone called Asniel ben Knaz, and again, there's a lot to talk about him, but not for now. And he was able to replace and to bring back to life those 3,000 halachos that were lost, mitok pilpula, because he was dedicated to pilpula shel Torah. Pilpula shel Torah means to analyze the Torah on the deepest, most profound level with yigia and amelus. And now we begin to understand the difference between the zayis, the olive, and the shemen. Because to eat an olive, how much work do you need to eat an olive? No work at all. Right, that's the outside, olive. But in order to get shemen, what do you have to do? You know, we have olive trees in our backyard, and I always say to my wife, let's make oil out of them. But she tells me that the Arabs know how to do it. They have a tradition. But I mean, we know how to do it too, but it's very complicated, the whole process of extracting oil from zeisim. But it requires a great deal of torach and work. So when you vision in your mind ketishas zeisim, the process of crushing olives in order to extract the oil, picture in your mind something that symbolically represents amelus and torah, a tremendous amount of work. Therefore, the shemen, as opposed to the zeis, represents pilpula shel Torah, because pilpula shel Torah requires a great deal of work, yigia and amelus, to reveal the deeper meanings of the Torah. And therefore, we go back to the Gemara that we started with about the difference between eating olives, right? That's the Gemara in Horios, and imbibing shemen. And the Gemara says that olives is meshakeach Torah. It causes you to forget your Torah. Why? Because you're trying to find shortcuts and understand Torah on a superficial level. And if you understand Torah on a superficial level, as we said before, easy come, easy go. It's very easy to forget it. There was no yigia, there was no pilpul shel Torah. On the other hand, the Gemara says that Shemen Zayis is able to bring about replacing any Torah that you forgot. It's meshiv limud shel Torah, because Shemen Zayis means yigia sa'adam. When a person works and he toils with derech pilpul through ketishas hazeisim in order to extract the oil, what he does is he's bone of a soser, it means he suggests a pshat and then he rejects it. Maksha mataris, he asks a kasha and then he answers it. All this is in order to clarify the deeper meaning of Torah. That's called Shemen Zayis. And the Gemara Nedarim tells us that there was one part of Torah which Moshe Rabbeinu received as a personal gift. What do I mean by as a personal gift? If I tell you there's a certain part of Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu received as a personal gift, what do I mean by that? You don't know what I mean. Moshe is the transmitter of Torah, is he not? So what's the purpose of Hashem giving Moshe the Torah? For the sake of Klal Yisrael. If I tell you that there's one part of Torah that was a personal gift to Moshe Rabbeinu, what I mean to say is that it was outside the purview of transmission. Moshe was given it for himself.
The oral law?
A certain part of the oral law, and that's called Pilpula Shel Torah. And you look in the Gemara Nedarim, the Gemara says that the chelik called Pilpula Shel Torah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he would bequeath it to his descendants, but it was not given for Moshe Rabbeinu to transmit to the Torah. He has monopoly, a patent right, over the Pilpula Shel Torah. Ella, says the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu Nogbo Tovas Ayin. This is called the Ayin Tova of Moshe Rabbeinu. The Pasuk in Mishlei that refers to a Tova Ayin is referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, because Moshe, out of the goodness of his heart, chose to share the Pilpula Shel Torah with Klal Yisrael. And why? What brought about that decision of Moshe Rabbeinu? And the answer is we're in the last three lines on page 2. Bili chelek ha-pilpul, Moshe Rabbeinu understood that without pilpul, that Torah without pilpul, without the amelus, that would allow a person, a student of Torah, to reveal the deeper meanings, lotis kayim Torah b'yad Yisrael. Ultimately, down the line, chas v'sholem, the Jewish people would forget their Torah. Because the key and the guarantee to successfully remember and retain the Torah is memis atzmo aleh. As we saw, the Torah says, Adam ki yomis b'ba'oel. Here we're going on to page 3. Therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu realized that this whole enterprise, this whole project of transmitting the Torah in such a way that Klal Yisrael would not only receive the Torah, but they would retain the Torah, would totally depend upon pilpul shel Torah. And that was the Tovus Ayin of Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, the Navi says, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi. What does it mean, Zichru Toras Moshe Avdi? Remember the Torah of Moshe. Why is it remember? What's the emphasis here on memory, on Zechira? The answer is because if you don't know the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu, if you don't know the Pilpula Shel Torah, the deeper meanings of Torah, then it's not possible to remember the Torah. So the key and the prerequisite for Zichru Torah is Torah's Moshe. Moshe here is a reference to Pilpula Shel Torah, that Moshe was knowing there at Ba'ayin Tova, and he shared the Pilpula Shel Torah with Klal Yisrael. So Zichru Torah's Moshe Avdi, it means remember to dedicate yourself to the study of Pilpul HaTorah, that part of Torah, which is called Esek HaTorah. Esek meaning Be'egia U'Bamelus, as we saw earlier in the Taz and before him in the Bach. So Moshe Rabbeinu represents this concept of remembering Torah, retaining its knowledge, as opposed to forgetting Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu represents Shemen, because Shemen is that which you extract from the Zesim after a lot of work. Moshe Rabbeinu is going to give us the key to understand that in order to retain our Torah knowledge and not forget it, we need Pilpula Shel Torah. We mean the Amelus and the Egi of Memis Es Atzma B'Torah. So it's all B'Schus Moshe Rabbeinu that we have the ability to have a contact or an access with Shemen. Shemen meaning the Amelus of Torah that's going to allow us to retain that Torah. Shemen has the power symbolically of even having us remember that which we forgot. When a person is dedicated to Pilpul Shel Torah and he's trying to understand the Torah, he remembers a lot, because Pilpul Shel Torah really connects all the Torah into one. It's one matrix. It's what is that game that the children play? You know, where one stick falls on top of the other, so that if you pick up one stick, everything falls. You don't pick up sticks. You remember the pick up sticks? They have it now in very sophisticated pick up sticks. In any event, what's the pick up stick? The pick up stick of Torah is Pilpula Shel Torah, because if you're involved in Pilpul Shel Torah, then you connect all the parts of the Torah. I'm always fascinated in my own learning when we get to a Chiddush and we realize that that Chiddush has implications in so many different areas of the Halacha. Yesterday I gave a shiur on something that's called the what's it called? It's the threshold. You go past the Sofa Pnimis into... Abby, do you remember that term? What's it called again? I always forget the term. Ovi HaPesach. Ovi HaPesach means that, let's say, for example, in the old days, they used to have a threshold here. And let's say I can't light my candle outside, because outside is Rishus HaRavim. So there's something called the Sofa Pnimis, and then there's a piece of the threshold over here, and I light my Ner Hanukkah over here, and everyone has access to it, everyone can see it, but it's not technically in Rosh Hashanah, because the Ovi HaPesach, right, belongs to me. And I began to realize when I was studying this, it's based on the insights of one of the Rishonim. I began to realize that this has tremendous repercussions in like so many different areas of Halacha. So when you're involved in Pilpul Shel Torah, it almost guarantees that you remember the Torah, because you're always connecting various parts of the Torah. And that's what the menorah is all about. As we saw before, the shemen of the menorah and the light of the menorah represent the Torah, and their mitzvah Torah are. So the shemen represents the Torah, because shemen is the way that I can achieve my goal of retaining Torah knowledge and not forgetting it. That's shemen. And that represents the amelus of Torah, the pilpul shel Torah, which connects me to the entire Torah and I'll never forget it. And that's symbolized by Moshe Rabbeinu, because he was the one who was only noeg b'ayin tova to share with Klal Yisrael pilpul shel Torah. And therefore, when the menorah was lit, and the Torah says, "Baloschas es haneros el mul penei haMenorah yairu shivas haneros," that the seven, that three on one side, three on the other, will all point towards the middle candle, which is the candle of Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, if they, the other candles, want to understand the Torah and retain it, they need the gift of Moshe Rabbeinu. What's the gift, the contribution of Moshe Rabbeinu? Pilpula shel Torah. And Lachain, if you want to underline this, just to highlight in the paragraph that starts Al Pi, and if you count up five lines before the end of the pack, Lachain Tzorech Lahadlik Eskol Haneros El Mul Haner HaEmtzai Shehu Keneged Moshe, that all the Neros that represent the aura of Torah and the knowledge of Torah have to face the middle Ner, which is the Ner that corresponds to Moshe Rabbeinu. And this is a message for all of us, that if we want to remember the Torah, then it's not enough to learn like a zayis, like a superficial learning, but we need to learn the shemen shel Torah. The shemen represents the pilpula shel Torah, and that koach was given to Klal Yisrael through Moshe Rabbeinu. He represents the pilpula shel Torah. And now we're up to the paragraph on the bottom right, me'ata. And we say, "Kishom the Malchus Yomino Shalom Chli So Lashkicham Torah Secha." What does it mean, Lashkicham Torah Secha? We asked the question before: how do the Greeks have this agenda that they wanted to force us to forget our Torah? How can they force us to forget something? And then it says, "Lavira Michuke Ritzonecha." They want to make sure that we violate the Chukim; those are the statutes of the Torah that we don't understand. And the answer is, Al Yidei Shemonu Mehem Lasok Bechukei Torah. So you have to underline the last four lines here on the bottom right, because this is the key to everything that we've been discussing, and all the answers to all our questions lie in these four lines. What the Yevanim were out to accomplish was to prevent us from Esek HaTorah, correct? Didn't we have that in the Rambam at the beginning? Let me just double check and see if I'm not inventing it. Because I do have a ten. Yeah, the Rambam says, "V'lo he nichu osam lasok b'Torah." I think I told you to underline that. I hope I did. And that's in the bottom paragraph on the right column, page one. Lasok b'Torah. The Rambam says, and what's Esek HaTorah? We saw in the Bach and in the Taz. Esek HaTorah means Yigia v'amelus and pilpul shel Torah. That's what they wanted to prevent. So you want to read, you know, lay down in your bed and read it Senarena, you know, before you go to sleep at night. Okay, I don't know if you guys know what Senarena is. Anyway, but that's easy stuff. But that's not what the Yevanim wanted. They wanted to prevent us from Esek HaTorah, from that dedication to Torah study on the deepest level. Now, when it comes to Chukei Ritzonecha, what kind of study are we engaged in with regard to Chukim? In Mishpatei HaTorah, which are the logical statutes that are ethical and that are universal, that doesn't require so much work to understand it. But if you take the Chukei HaTorah, you know, the hardcore statutes of the Torah, that requires a tremendous amount of amelus and yigiyah. And unless we dedicate ourselves to the study of Chukei HaTorah and the Esek HaTorah of amelus and yigiyah, then Chas V'Sholom, the whole Torah will be forgotten. Because as Moshe Rabbeinu made that decision, we saw in the Gemara Nedarim, that unless he shares Pilpul Shel Torah, ultimately down the line, the whole project is going to go down to the tubes, because we're going to forget the Torah. So therefore, the Yevanim, in their agenda, their primary victim was to undermine Shemen, to be metame the Shemen. If they could be metame all the Shmonim, then Klal Yisrael would never ever be able to light the menorah with Shemen Tar, which would mean that they would never have Shemen for the menorah. And if you don't have Shemen, you don't have Pilpul Shel Torah, and ultimately there won't be Esek HaTorah, and there won't be Pilpul, there won't be retaining the Torah, and the Torah will be eventually forgotten. Moshe Rabbeinu was in charge of making sure that the Torah wouldn't be forgotten. He, as the one who's given the mitzvah of shemen, of lighting the menorah in the mikdash, is also given another transmission on a deeper level to generations down the line, also to retain the shemen. And that shemen would be the shemen that the Chashmonaim would find, the shemen tar, and they looked and they looked for shemen tar, and they finally found, miraculously, one jar, one jug of shemen tar that was hidden away, b'chol somo shel kohen gadol. Who is this kohen gadol? And the answer is based on the Gemara in Zvachim, which you'll see on the top left of page 3. The Gemara in Zvachim says that Moshe Rabbeinu is a Kohen Gadol. A lot of people don't know this sugya in Zvachim. They think that Aaron is the Kohen Gadol, but Moshe Rabbeinu is the Kohen Gadol. Later on, he gave over the responsibility of Kohuna Gadola to Aaron, but he was the original Kohen Gadol. And therefore, it means that although Moshe Rabbeinu served as Kohen Gadol for only a period of 40 years, but nevertheless he was the Kohen Gadol, and since he got the mitzvah of the menorah, because of the word Eilecha that appears twice in the Torah, in Vayikra and in Shmos, it's your mitzvah, Moshe Rabbeinu, you're the Kohen Gadol, you make sure that they light the Shemen, and not only light the Shemen in the Beis HaMikdash, but to light the Shemen of Chanukah Sachashmonoim down the line, because you're going to take, again, and don't take me literally on this, but you're figuratively, you're going to take a pach of shemen tahar, and you're going to lock it up in order, and with a chasima, a seal, in order to guarantee that the shemen tahar of the Beis HaMikdash in the menorah would also be there for the chashmonaim to light that shemen tahar and to gain back their free reign over the study of Pilpul Shel Torah, which the Yevanim tried to undermine. And I see it's getting late, so I'm going to have to wrap this up. But if I could just wrap this up with the Prima Gadim in Eishel Avram and Arachayim Siman Tav Resh Ayin, which you'll see in a paragraph that starts the Ata, and the main thrust of his works, of his contribution, is in the paragraph of Zaydim. The Prima Gadim, who lived about 150 years ago, tried to understand in the Al HaNisim, what does it mean, V'zeidim biyad oskei sorasecha? And he says the following. We have a bracha on Torah study, asher kidshonu mitzvosu v'tzivonu lasok b'divrei Torah, says the Prima Gadim. What are we declaring every single day before we engage in Torah study, asher kidshonu mitzvosu v'tzivonu lasok b'divrei Torah? We were commanded to learn Torah on the deepest levels, to be mechadesh chidushim, to see the deeper meanings. Im kein logak zu shemosar azeidim biyadam enaktim bechukim biyosel af zu mesach mosach osam mosar osam. I'm sorry. Be oske Torah secha v'sosim bepilpulam. What the Yevanim wanted to do, and that's called Zaydim, was to undermine the Esek HaTorah. And that means, K'maymar HaChocham, Mishal Otam, Tam Simchas HaTorah, Hasfekos, V'lotam, Tam Simcha Me'olam, Lotam, Tam Simcha Me'olam. In other words, the Zaydim wanted to rob from us our Simcha, our joy, our pleasure in learning the Torah, our Esek HaTorah, because we are Sosim Bilpilpulo Shel Torah. Our enjoyment, our, we call it Yiddish Geshmak of Torah, is because of Pilpul HaTorah, and that's what these Zaydim wanted to undermine. And that's what Hashem did. He gave over the Zaydim biyad oske sorasecha. Those who were dedicated to Esek HaTorah, b'derech Pilpul, they would achieve the Simcha of Torah, and they would undermine the entire agenda of the Yevanim, who wanted to be Meshakeach Torah. And how would the Yevanim succeed in their project to be Meshakeach the Torah, to prevent us from Esek HaTorah b'derech Pilpul? And once we're left out with our pilpul, there's no kiyum of Torah, we won't be able to remember. Ultimately, the Torah will be forgotten. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu intervened, V'zeidim biyad oskei sorasecha. Oskei torasecha means b'derech pilpul. In Yirtz Hashem.
What's
Zaydim? Are those who try to remove any sort of simcha from your life. These are the enemies that want to make you into a machine that suffers anguish because he's totally devoid of any liquid, any lachus, any moisture. He's totally dry, like a machine. And that was the project and the agenda of those zaydim of the Yevonim. So Yirtzeh Hashem, I just want to end with a tefillah. We should be zocher to be mekayim. We still have four days left of Chanukah, or a little bit less than, right? We have a little more than 4 days, right?
Yeah,
and we should be zocher Yirtzeh Hashem to dedicate ourselves to Esek HaTorah, to light the Shemen of the menorah, to remember that this mitzvah was initially given, as we saw in the Rokeach, to Moshe Rabbeinu, who represents the chelik of Pilpul HaTorah, which will give us the key to retain Torah, so we can justify the fact that we are banim l'Hashem Elokecha, banim because God gave us the Torah, Yiratzon v'zoche, to deserve that merit, Kein Yiratzon. Okay, thanks for returning the pen.